your city, your mayor. Melissa in the Morning chats with Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Nothing.
No hot water today still?
Nope. This is day 7.
So as you can imagine, Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim is back with us, and we've been talking about this basically on and off for the last 3 months. The very latest on Success Village, we know that Mayor Joe Ganim has been working with local and state officials as well as Stratford's Mayor Laura Hoydick, because Success Village is a 924-unit complex. There's over 2,000 people living there, from seniors, disabled, families, young professionals, everyone in between. And it's between Bridgeport and Stratford. They've been trying to get the receivership together so that they could try and deal with these issues that have been going on for a long, long time, but really have been highlighted in these past 3 months, especially with no hot water on and off for residents. And that's compounded with no heat for a lot of the residents in the winter months. So Mayor Ganim, as you just heard, one of your many constituents calling into us again to let us know that it is now another day with no hot water. And of course, asking about an update. Good morning.
Yeah, it's outrageous. This should not be able to continue like this. Our offices have done everything, continue to do everything that we can, but I think that being hamstrung on the situation by everyone is working in coordination with the first selectman and the mayor of Stratford. We're trying to figure out ways. I'm not opposed to putting resources and meaning money to a certain extent into this. We've talked about going to court, lawyers and so on, that are, because this is a area, I guess it'd be an area of law, if you want to talk about like an area of intervention that nobody seems to have ever tried before. There's some reluctance to kind of make sure that what is done properly. But it's a terrible situation. We want to, and we'll continue to be supportive in every way we can. I thought that there was even some independent impetus to go and do, I think you and I talked about it, where they were going to go ahead and ask the court to force elections. I don't know what happened with that.
I was going to ask that. So nothing's happened with that since we last spoke?
I was going to ask you. No, not that I know of.
As far as I know, he's still doing his thing. We're referring to the president of the co-op right now, Ty Bird. My understanding from many, many residents, I've had pictures of proof that he is still going in the office and out of the office. He's still handling furniture.
Sure,
and there's no election. We've heard of no election, and he's gone way past the court-ordered date of July 15th to have an election to remain the president. Nothing.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't know who can pull the trigger on that. But I think it's got to be whoever was in court the last time. And, you know, it's really hard to talk about court cases and filings and receiverships and all that. In kind of our capacities. But these updates are somewhat disappointing, because updates are not getting us to the point where I feel comfortable that there's going to be a consistent level of either hot water or heat coming up in the next few months. I'm going to ring the bell a little louder on people that need to step up and do something. We're trying to do everything that we can, short of actually filing into that receivership that we talked about. That has obviously not been done yet. You would have heard about it and talked about it more.
But that I know is also complicated, which you've really talked a lot about. And there's also a lot of pushback, ironically enough, from people like Ty Bird, who don't love that idea. I'm curious about, Mayor Ganim, so when you say ringing the bell on people who could step up and get involved, this is just what comes to mind for me. I'm no politician, so I don't know. But to me, like, I'm surprised that, like, Attorney General William Tong can't investigate this. I'm surprised that when we had, remember in West Haven during the pandemic, when the COVID funds were illegally being used by one of the state reps, and
right.
I mean, that was blown wide open. And the governor then made there be oversight on that municipality. Now, I understand this is a private entity, but it's gotten to a point where I'm thinking, okay, but we're living in 2024, and people are literally living like they're in a third world country right now in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and Stratford. This is ridiculous. Is there a way to have somebody like a Governor Lamont or somebody at the state level to have oversight? Like, to me, I know obviously there's only so much in your capacity you could do. And I know there's only so much it seems like the residents can do. Like, sure, we can offer vouchers for people to get, you know, hot showers at the YMCA or go and stay at a hotel. And in the short term, fine. But in the long term, you're talking about kids are starting school in less than a month. And you're talking about children who live there not having access to hot water. It's inexcusable. You have seniors, people who are disabled. You have families. And they're paying their bills and they're not getting the essentials. Like, who would be those entities that you're talking about? Like, who could step up who's not really doing so right now?
Well, I'm not saying they're not doing so. In other words, they're remiss. But I think you're right. The Attorney General, if there is money, and it doesn't have to be necessarily public money, but if there's money, in this case, it would be, you know, theoretically private money that's being involved in there, then I think they have some oversight. They can act as the defender or the advocate for people who may be, in this case, our residents, individuals who may not be getting the benefit of what would be appropriate. So I think that's one opportunity. I really think that with our conversations with Stratford, we just want to make sure we're doing, making the right moves. And as you say, we go into court with receivership, which I think I told you we were going to do or were close to doing a couple weeks ago. And the lawyers are really evaluating how that might look and whether there's a way to get, I said this before to the residents, if they can agree on a plan, and I guess it's the board, because whether we like it or not, I don't know, there's a split in the board, but I think we talked about that. If they can ever agree to something, the easiest thing would be for us to support it. We've been asked to put money into it, meaning public dollars, and I think the city council would be supportive of that under certain terms and conditions. Just like you mentioned, no one, and we wouldn't never do it intentionally, is going to put public money into a situation where we can't account for it later on. In other words, put it in and then have stories like we're hearing now where we're not sure what things are being spent on, who's spending it, and where did it go. So
it
that's
does.
Been a kind of a little bit of a roadblock for us to kind of pull the trigger on this without some type of authority or oversight, which is beyond, you know, mayor or even city council or state legislature. Well, it could be state legislature. I guess they can do pretty much what more than we could. But it would be a court, I guess, is where I'm going. So we're still in that vein.
Yeah, and also, not to interrupt you, Mayor Ganim, but I did just go into the Superior Court case lookup for the judicial branch, and I looked over in Bridgeport. It does show, actually, that on It says as of this morning, July 31st, it says the last action date was, July 24th, where you had part of the board. I recognize some of these names, like Jose Sandoz is on there. Rebecca Haas, both have been on this show before. They're both board members. It says that they were the plaintiffs and the defendants included Tyreek Byrd and Success Village Apartments. And it just says at the top, judgment of dismissal by a Judge Clark. So does that mean they just toss that out, that they're just like, all right, forget it, don't worry about it, we're just not going to address that?
You know, but I don't know what it means, and that's, you know, based on what you told me, and even with a legal background, which I have, it's kind of unclear. And I think it's unclear. If it's unclear to me and to you, right, I got to believe even the members that are bringing that action, it's got to be unclear to them.
I just texted it to you, Mayor Ganim, just so that you have it, because I don't even know if I'm reading things correctly, but I just texted it to you so that you could see what I'm reading. I don't even – what it's saying here is the disposition is judgment of dismissal. So does that mean they dismiss the case, or does that mean that that's what they were going to court for? Sorry. I don't understand legal terms too well.
Yeah, I'd have to look at it a little bit more.
Okay.
So yeah, if it was dismissed, that would not be encouraging for the courts to be.
Agreed, because that means Ty Byrd can keep being the president and that there is no election and that it's totally okay that he went against a court order. That's what that looks like.
Which would seem to be what we would not expect in that situation. So let's look at it, and I'd say let's talk about it more. What I'm hoping to do, and I've said this before, and not follow through on it because I didn't have anything to follow through on, is between now and next week, I hope we can, if we have some updates, at least on that part of it. If we decide we're going to file and Stratford wants to file, or we're going to advocate for the use of public funds, you know, we'll try and announce that. I've been pushing because I don't want the winter to come And that is hot water, which is terrible, terrible. Especially, you know, we had a resident on this morning with a intermittently at best getting hot water. They have a heat problem. That becomes even a bigger crisis.
No question. So we have Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim who's here. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, Mayor Ganim, I appreciate that you constantly do these updates. I know you have so many other things you would like to talk about on the show, but I appreciate that you.
No, this is important. Look at it. 900 residents between two towns. And these are not, you know, if they didn't need, if people didn't need help, we wouldn't be talking about it. We wouldn't be trying to do more. I just feel. And it's not a good feeling when you're mayor and you want to get stuff done. And in this situation, because of competing legal interests, because of courts, because of private ownership, that, you know, we're kind of looking at a situation that's very delicate, delicate in a human nature way, but also delicate in kind of authority and legality. So it's very awkward.
It is.
Leave it at that for now, and we'll pick it up at the worst case. You know, I hate to wait another week, but we'll pick it up next week if we can't have or don't have something to announce or to push or to say or progress between now and then.
Okay, so just some quick clarity on the former story we were just talking about with Success Village. I did a little bit of digging and understand this a little bit better. Mayor Ganim, I was looking at the document. This was a motion to open judgment, apparently. This was filed, and actually the attorneys are being paid out of pocket by one of the residents who was a former board member for Success Village. They basically filed a motion to address the fact that there have not been these meetings, there have not been financial statements given to the residents, and that the election was past the date that it was supposed to, and that there was supposed to be the opportunity to vote in new members, including the president, who is Ty Byrd. So that document was filed this week, and it looks like the judge is set to review it on Monday, August 5th. So maybe we'll have a better update the next time you come on next week or before that. So I will. I'll keep you posted on that. But yes, it looks like a motion was filed in court. But it does look like the residents are actually paying this out of pocket to have this happen, which is also very sad to hear that. So I just wanted to update our listeners for that. And then Mayor Ganim, going from one controversial story in Bridgeport to another, I'm getting a lot of calls. I have spoken directly to the chair here on the show, who has not come back on ever since. I had her on, but she won't come back on. And I've talked to board members, though, for the Board of Education. You and I have openly talked about that there's been a divide, if you will, between the superintendent of schools and the Board of Education. Now, Dr. Carmela Levy-David, who has now completed her first year in her contract, she has said on this show many times she's vetted to stay for 10 years at least because she's very dedicated to seeing things turn around. She's got some really bold, amazing ideas. While maybe not everybody feels that they agree with them, she cares about Bridgeport. And I know you and her are working very hard to really clean up the Bridgeport Public Schools and really make it a place where students can thrive. But the Board of Ed, if you watch those meetings that are being done virtual now, the decorum is horrible. I mean, it's bad. I mean, there's steamrolling, there's disrespect, there's sketchiness going on. And I just wasn't sure if this is sort of par for the course or if this is something you're aware of and what you think about it.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm not a fan of a level of discourse. And look, there's going to be disagreements. And if you're going to have, as we do with any group of people, boards, as we just talked about Success, I think we've seen a clear, strong majority leadership on the city council on the important issues. It doesn't mean we always agree or they always agree on things. But I will say, and you may have members that disagree with me on this, but I've always tried to move forward our meetings, the ones that I chair, with a level of there's going to be disagreement, there's going to be discord, people that might want to disagree. I've always had a strong feeling that we everybody needs to be heard, maybe not for an hour, but everybody needs to have their say in these public meetings, individually elected and so on. And that should be happening at the Board of Ed. At the same time, I think we've got a superintendent who came in and is here committed to, as you said, the best providing and leadership for the best quality public education that we can. And I'd hope the board would all things being equal, give the superintendent the benefit of the doubt, because these jobs are terribly difficult. Whether it's Bridgeport, you could pick any community. It doesn't even have to be a big city anymore. These jobs are just terribly difficult.
Yes.
With competing interests, constituencies, shortage of funds. So I'd ask the board and the chair, who I've, you know, have a relationship with, to, you know, there's ways to kind of sort these things out and make the public discord. And it doesn't mean you do it behind closed doors, but with a level of transparency, have the public discord done in a way that disagreements can be aired, results can be voted on, and that they can continue to make progress. It's too important. It's too important. You know, I used to use the number 22,000. It might be less. It might be more now. But 22,000 children, students who speak some 50, I don't know, I picked the number 57 languages in our schools, need to know that the individuals that are elected or appointed in these positions kind of got it together and are moving in the right direction. And I don't mean to say that we're not. The discord, though, would lead us, I think you and I and anybody else listening, to say, what the heck is going on?
Well, that's just
Fran
it, Mayor
Rabinowitz,
Ganim.
Who,
yeah, yep. There you go. That's it. Yes, that's an example I was thinking of.
Fran,
yep.
who was, you know, just wonderful. You couldn't find someone better. She left, and I had my long talks with her before she left. I don't think I'm telling anybody anything out of school, so to say. Oh, please stay, please stay. But there were individuals, and I'll just, you know, Maria Pereira was one of them. She's an elected council person now. She was on that board. She made it a goal to drive out that superintendent. And, you know, it makes it very difficult. So I support our superintendent. I support our board members to have their views and differing opinions. And I'd ask them, and we'll continue to push it, to make sure that we deal with the issues that are important to children. We deal with them in a civil way. We vote up or down and we move on and continue. There's too much to do to spend an inordinate amount of time over what some of these disagreements could be that are not substantive, are not with the children first. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything along those lines, but children first. So that's where I come down on it. And I want our listeners to know the mayor, the city council, we have very limited powers over education. That's just the way it's set up in Connecticut. The board is independently elected. They have their own budget. They spend the money the way they want. If schools are going to be open and closed, those are decided by Board of Education, not
right.
by the city.
But those are big decisions. And the fact that you
the fact that you
and the city council don't have a lot of, if you will, power to override some of the things that they're deciding, it makes it even more to me of an important focus, because if these are board members being voted in, like the board member I sent to you, the interview I did with him yesterday on the show, that board member, that was a vacant seat, and he was elected in by your constituents, by people who live in Bridgeport. This is a longtime educator. He's been in the Bridgeport sector for over 20 years. He put his children through the Bridgeport school system. He gets it. He's got it. He was voted in by people in Bridgeport. So when you see this person being steamrolled or having their microphone shut off or just not even being able to vote accurately and then being treated the way that he's being treated, to me, if I were the one who voted this person in to represent my children who are in that district, I'd be very, very concerned if this is the way that they're being handled. And it makes me not even want to bother going out and voting for board members if it's just, hey, if they don't toe the line, then they're just going to be ignored. That's just never going to be okay.
I agree on that. So I'm going to use in my conversations, and again, these are independently elected board. They have to figure out, just like the Success Village Board, although not a public board, you know, if you can put four or five people together, not a lot, well-intended individuals, you can chart a clear path. I think I'm making substantial progress, incremental, but substantial progress over time. And that's what I want our Board of Ed to do. And we'll continue to support Success Village. You're not picking a side on that. I think the fact that they're going to court with the motion to reopen put us in a position, you refresh my mind, to intervene into that as opposed to bringing a new action for receivership. And if we intervene, I think it's quicker. It's a lot less bureaucracy or legality, if you will, and might allow a judge to hear from what we think, meaning Bridgeport and Stratford, as to the way we can be helpful. And then we'd have the assurance, if we put public money in, that there'd be some court oversight, whether we put the money in to help fix the hot water and heating system, it would be through the court. At least that was the way I suggested it when we talked about it again. Mm. It's been a pleasure. Can we for sure, hopefully next week?
Yes.
There's going to be a couple days when I'm going to be, hopefully, I'd love to take a couple days somewhere, somehow. So if you miss me, we'll get a much smarter, much more informative guest from the city on to talk about a topic or two.
Yeah, that'd be great. Absolutely. And Mayor Ganim, again, thank you so much for talking about these things. I know there's a
thank
lot
you.
Happening in Bridgeport, but these are important. So I thank
and the
you.
Book back, book bag giveaways are coming up. We have ours next Saturday, August 10th at 999 Broad. We always give away thousands of backpacks to individuals. It's hard to believe, as you say, school starting real soon. But we want to let people know those are going to be, we do them with a lot of nonprofits too. So we want to try and provide our young people, in addition to their education, with things like free book bags and supplies for schools as parents struggle to find the funds to support that as they go back to school. Thank you so much. I appreciate being on.
Yes, absolutely. Mayor Ganim, thank you for your time.